那分段的时候，你就顺便把这个内容看一下。那下一节呢，我们就把后面的习题呢，把它讲一遍，因为里面有一些啊，怕误会啊什么，再自己把它说一次。
I think what we'll do this session is to divide everybody up into segments, and everybody can use the material to study their own particular segment. Next class, we'll go over all the questions in the back.
那约书二章一节到三节，这边是说耶和华的日子将到，说主的日子将到。
In Joel 2:1-3, it proclaims the day of the Lord.
那一天的情况是有在这里有描述。
And it describes the day, that day.
二章二节说，那日是黑暗幽冥、密云乌黑的日子，好像晨光铺满山顶。有一对民众，那个蝗虫这里是不对的了，众应该是民了哈。又大又强，从来没有这样的，以后直到万代也没有这样子的。
Verse 2 describes a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across mountains. A large and mighty army comes, such as never was of old, nor ever will be in ages to come.
那他们前面如火烧灭，后面如火焰烧尽。未到以前，地好像伊甸园，过去就成荒凉的旷野，没有一样能逃避他们。
That before them the fire devours, behind them flame blazes. Before them the land is like Garden of Eden, behind them a desert waste. Nothing escapes them.
所以一节到三节这边只是总的介绍说，这个这对民好像蝗虫的这对民这个敌人呢，过去之后全大地都毁坏了。
Verses 1 to 3 then vividly describes this army of locusts that after they pass by any area, it becomes desolate.
那四节到十一节是描写他们那个军大军就是民哦进入的情况，他们怎么样，他们的形状，他们的动作，并且他们怎么样跳奔上那个城，钻上墙，爬上房屋，进入房那个进入房子里面。
And verse 4 to 11 describes the action of the army itself, the way it climbs, it goes through things, it goes over things.
所以这是先知从神得到的一个宣告。
These are proclamations received by Joel from God.
那十一节是这段的结束。
Verse 11 concludes this segment.
十一节这边说，耶和华在他的军旅前发声。我们这里会感觉奇怪，这些毁坏的敌军是耶和是神的军旅啊。
We'll find it a little strange here that verse 11 it describes the Lord being at the head of this army.
军旅就是说他的工具。
That this army being his tools.
我们不要以为说好人才是神的工具啊。
We cannot just look at what we call good people as God's tools.
坏人做坏事，有时候他硬着心做，神也是成就神的工作。
Even a person does bad deeds, if it's through God's will, God has his will in it, then he is a tool of God.
但是这种人不生在世上道好。
But this person does not walk in the straight path in this world.
所以有人讲说那像那犹大哈，如果耶稣要被卖，这是神的旨意的，就是说本来就老早就在旧约有这样的预言的话，那一定有人一个人去卖他，那刚好这犹大倒霉。
People speaks of Judas Iscariot that since Old Testament has been prophesied that someone will betray Jesus, and it seems that Judas Iscariot has been the unlucky one chosen to be the betrayer.
啊，他也是从跟耶稣心术就不好，所以主耶稣一直要他回头过来，但他一直没有办法回头，所以他最后就倒霉了，成为卖耶稣的工具。
However, the reality of Judas was that he was unfaithful from the beginning, but Jesus kept giving him chances, yet at the end, he inevitably became the tool of God to fulfill the betrayer role.
甚至他怎样死，然后他的职分怎么给别人，是在旧约里面就有预言了。
Even the Old Testament, it prophesied about his demise, the way he died, and how he had to give up his status of being a disciple.
看起来好像说是犹大好像是魔鬼得胜把耶稣卖了、啊、其实是神得胜了。
It seems that Satan has been victorious over Judas and won his soul, but in fact it was God who was the victor.
所以这里的战乱有时候也是就是神的旨意里面的一部分。
Therefore, the wars that happen here are also part of God's will.
那十一节的最后是说，因为耶和华的，因为主的日子大而可畏，谁能当得起呢？意思说，没有人能当得起啦。
Verse 11 ends by saying that the day of the Lord is great. It's dreadful. Who can endure it?
所以我们从第一章的第二节到第四节，这里的具体的蝗虫灾祸。
So from the invasion of locusts described in chapter 1 verse 2 to 4,
那再下来就把这个蝗虫的天然的灾祸变成人灾了。
And that this locust, swarm of locusts became swarm of army.
变成人灾。
Become a human disaster.
这是一个大战的一个日子。
That these are days of war.
但是不管外在的环境怎么样，有什么大战啊，中东大战争啊，哪里战啊，我们基督徒要保持一个平静的心，不要听到哪里战争就要心吓得半死，或是想说明天主耶稣就来了。
But no matter what the external world events are, whether there's Middle East conflicts going on, we should not be alarmed by this and be frightened and say Jesus is coming tomorrow.
那个以亚战争的时候，我看美国是最紧张，那个有很多的那个 Armstrong 哈，他们很会讲预言的哈，哇，讲的好像明天就是世界的末日了，有没有？你在那段时期，你看看每各个教派专门讲预言的那个教派，把那个预言收集起来，哦，那么多的，每个都说快到了，明天就是了，这是一样最后的战争了，什么哈马吉多顿之战了，就是在这里了，哦，地极印了，已经在开了，讲的他眼睛真的很大，有没有听过？你去外面收集收集，很多讲到，有的说快了，没几年了，过了好几年没什么事啊。
As you recall from the Persian conflict, Persian Gulf conflict, that all the American evangelists are more prophetic in their ministry. They went crazy with this prophetic things that during that time you could collect many material. They talk about Armageddon, talk about the seal, the last seal, everything. But a few years later, as we can see, they're wrong.
我们基督徒遇到这个外面的天灾人变，要告诉我们什么？
When we meet up with this world event that is disastrous, how should we deal with it?
不是用这个来去想说主耶稣在某年某月来，而是十二节以下要告诉我们的。
This should not alarm us to a particular date of Jesus' second arrival. Rather, we should look at verse 12.
所以我们看约书二章十二节。
Joel 2:12.
耶和华说，虽然如此，虽然外面的这个那么糟糕的一个情况，虽然外面这个大而可畏的神的日子来到。
Here the Lord declares that although disaster is all about you,
你们不是去那边跳，不是去那边 呼喊，而是呢应当禁食哭泣悲哀，一心归向神，就一心归向我，一心归向神。
That your job is not to run about chaotically, rather you are to weep and mourn with fasting.
就是不是外放的这个心，而是内敛的，说回来到你本身的。
Well, instead of a wild and uncontrolled heart, you should have an inner peace, a controlled peace.
要禁食、哭泣、悲哀、归向神。
Fasting, weeping and mourning, returning to the heart of God.
啊，十三节，这很有名的一节经节。
And verse 13 is a very famous verse.
所以你们要撕裂衣心肠，不要撕裂衣服啦。
That rend your heart, not your garments.
撕裂衣服是看得见的。
Tearing your garments is visible.
是看起来，哇，这个好悲伤，哦，这个好虔诚。
That people look upon it and look at it as sincerity or look at it as very sorrowful.
撕裂衣服是外面的动作。
Rending your garments is an external action.
你肝肠寸断，人家看不到啊。
Rather, you want to do the invisible.
但是在这种困苦灾祸的日子，神要我们就是撕裂心肠，不是撕裂衣服。
But under these disastrous conditions, God wants us to tear our heart apart, not our garments.
把心想撕裂之后再归向神。
That after we rend our hearts, we can return to the Lord.
那因为呢，神有恩典，有怜悯，不轻易发怒，有丰盛的慈爱。
For God is gracious and compassionate, He's slow to anger and abounding in love.
我们神儿女的随时回家，神都是双手迎接我们。
That the children of God, any time they decide to return to God, God receives them with open arms.
我们是归向神，不是归向人。
That we return to God, we don't return to men.
神在什么时候，每个时刻都是好像那个，路加福音十五章十一节以下的那个慈爱的父亲一样，随时迎接我们。
That our God is like the father of the prodigal son described in Luke 15:11 onwards, that he always has his arms open, waiting for us to return.
不管我们是那个小儿子或是那个大儿子，神总是迎接我们。
No matter if we're the prodigal son or the son that stayed at home, he is ready to receive us openly.
因为神就是爱。
Because God is love.
我们看十四节。
We look at verse 14.
那他们在这个时候，他说，或者他转意后悔，留下迂腐，就留下献给耶和华你们神的数祭和奠祭，也未可知啊。这是在痛苦当中的一线生机。
Here is the gains amidst painfulness.
那这个是我们回到看第一章的第十三节。
This will bring us back to chapter 1, verse 13.
一章十三节这边说，祭司啊，你们要束腰痛哭，侍奉祭坛的啊，你们要哀嚎，侍奉我神的啊，你们要来披上麻布过夜，因为束祭和奠祭从你们神的殿中断绝了。在所有的祭里面，束祭跟奠祭是最简单，就是说最容易献的了。
Of all the different sacrifices and offerings, grain offerings and drink offerings are the most simplistic, the most basic.
你献，如果说献燔祭，至少要鸽子啊。
For if you give a burnt offering, at least you need a dove.
那比较隆重的就要献公牛啊。
A more elaborate one would be a bull.
那这奠祭呢？那这素祭呢？是用面粉啊，面粉揉一揉的。
But a grain offering is just flour and mixed with water and baked.
那素祭跟奠祭不是单独的祭。
And grain offerings and drink offerings are not stands by itself.
那个素祭跟奠祭是跟那些火祭，所谓的火祭就是平安祭了哈，赎罪祭了，还有燔祭一起献的。
That these grain offerings and drink offerings must be accompanied by peace offerings, sacrifice of atonement, etc.
所以那素祭跟奠祭是一起同献，在圣经里面我给你们那个 text 里面都有写同献的，一同献的这个素祭跟奠祭。
And the grain offerings and drink offerings must come hand in hand as one sacrifice to God.
他们两个不是不可以就这样子献，是要跟燔祭一起献才可以。
And they cannot be offered by themselves. They must be offered in conjunction with offering a burnt offering.
那用面粉做，用经济来讲是容易。但是在这个时代呢，连说做一个饼来献祭也没有了，也没有能力了。就是说他们那时候已经穷得要命。那个在这时候，因为灾祸了，灾难，连素祭跟奠祭都没有。
Economically, grain offering and drink offerings are very simple and basic. However, at this time, after the disaster, they're not in the position financially to even give the most basic offering of grain and drink.
那奠祭是拿酒，就是说在烧肉的时候，在献燔祭的时候，不是把肉都放上去吗？那要烧啊，把它献上，把它烧，把肉烧掉，然后饼也放上去，然后在烧的时候把那酒泼到那个烧的那个肉上面，这样才就是称为馨香的祭，就是你那个祭再倒酒下去，就你要说是比较香了。我是没有试过，不知道是不是这样。但是这献祭就是这样子，奠祭就是泼酒。
That the particulars of this offering starts by having the burnt offering put on, and then the flour, the baked flour bread is put on top, being the grain offering, and at last you put on the wine or the drink offering, and this is supposed to make the offering more fragrant. And this is, of course, Old Testament practices.
那这边耶稣是说，连最简单的随伴着大祭大的那个燔祭来献的这个小的祭物都没有了。But
the meaning here in Joel is that by this time they're not even in the position to give the most basic offerings.
但是经过祷告之后，他晓得神的慈爱之后，他说：“神，你可能留下一点点遗剩的。”
That after they pray, they finally ask God to leave them behind at least some blessings, that is, some grain offerings and drink offerings to offer.
那再来十五节，二章十五节之下，就是要叫大家起来归向神。
In verse 2:15, chapter 2, verse 15 onwards, is a call for people to turn and return to God.
要吹角,
blow the trumpets.
要宣布禁食,
and declare a holy fast,
宣告要严肃会,
and call a sacred assembly,
严肃会就是大家来聚会,
that everyone comes together to worship,
叫大家自洁,
and to consecrate everyone,
然后侍奉神的要哭泣,
and those who
要爱哭了,
Those who believe in the Lord must weep and mourn.
然后在这经过这次祷告之后呢，十八节以下就是神们，就是他们的祷告，神垂听之后的情况。And
after they plead to God in this manner in prayer, verse 18 onwards describes the Lord's reply.
十八节说，耶和华就为自己的地发热心，怜恤他的百姓。这是一个宣告，说神已经听了他们祷告。 神为了他的地，为了他的百姓。
That the Lord answers in verse 18 and says that he has heeded the pleas of his people and he's starting to take action.
这边说耶和华为他就为他的地发热心，这里的话热中文发热心是不是说哇很热心，七月做圣工这样子？这里的这个热心应该是有一种嫉妒，一种忌邪那种心。英文应该翻译比较好。
Jealous. That the Chinese translation has the word jealous replaced by zeal, the word jealous is more close in meaning to the actual text.
这个字本来是用在夫妇的，夫妇就是先生跟太太。
This word is more applicable between spouses.
用简单的话讲叫吃醋了。
You could say it's called being jealous.
夫妻之间是有时候大处小处，但是你总不会说看到自己先生老是跟比别人都不跟我讲话，都是跟其他的人、其他女孩子讲话，你也很舒服，一定不会的，心里一定怪怪的。那怪怪就是有点像这个样，有点吃醋了。Although
there is a big jealousy and small jealousies between couples, but we cannot state that a woman will not have any, will be totally comfortable with her husband speaking to many different females. This is the nature of the meaning here in verse 18.
那这个地是神的地，让这外邦来践踏，所以神忌邪了。这个字跟那个出埃及记20:5那个神是忌邪的神一样，是同一个字。
Here the jealous is same as in Exodus 2:5 talks about God is a jealous God, that he is jealous for foreigners have trampled upon his land.
所以神是忌邪的神，所以不可以拜偶像。
Because God is a jealous God, we simply cannot bow down to other gods.
那一方面神是忌邪的，一方面神是慈爱的。
On the one hand, God is jealous, however, he is also compassionate.
那再过来之后就是神
What follows is the Lord's promise to them.
神应许要牧养他们。
God promised to pastor them.
19节说，耶和华，神说， 神应与他们的百姓说，我必赐给你们五谷新酒和油，使你们饱足。所以这里要有五谷新酒和油。
Here it talks about that he'll send grain, new wine, and oil.
这是丰收。
These are harvest products.
那再来，要神要让他们远避这个敌人的这个灾祸，让他们不会受到羞辱。
And that God promised that they will never again be an object of scorn to other nations.
那第二章二十一节、二十二节、二十三节，这是三次的向百姓的这个呼吁。
And here the Lord responds to His people through verses 21 to 23.
二十一节说：“土地啊，不要惧怕。”
He says, "Land, do not be afraid."
第二十二节说：“田野的走兽啊，不要惧怕。”
And verse 22, "Wild animals, be not afraid."
二十三节说：“锡安的民啊，不但不惧怕，还要快乐。”
And 23 says, "The people of Zion, be glad, rejoice in your heart."
从土地，好像没有生物的，一直到会走的走兽，一直到锡安的民，越来越珍贵。
From addressing the land which has no life to wild animals, and then to the people of Zion, it seems that the nobility is increasing.
那二十六节到二十七节，这是神自己的保证。
And verse 26 to 27 is the guarantee that God has issued.
在新旧约里面，神如果要保证，常常用这样的一个说法。
That this the way the text here is often what God uses to give guarantees to His people.
他说：“神，你们的我们看二十六节，
26.
你们必多吃而得饱足，就赞美为你们行奇妙事，知足你们的神的名。”我的百姓必永远不致羞辱。二十七节，你们必知道我是在以色列中间，又知道我是主你们的神，在我以外并没有别的神。我的百姓必永远不致羞愧。所以神他自己当作保证的保证人。
Here God seems to be the guarantor of this guarantee，
让他们晓得说以色列中有神，并晓得主是他们的神。
So that his people, the Israelites, would know that amongst them they have a God, and that is the Lord.
啊，神要当他们神。那在这之前呢，我们所看二十三节就是说，锡安的民要快乐，为什么快乐呢？因为神要赐给他们何以的秋雨，为他们降下了甘霖，就是秋雨和春雨。
And why should they be glad and rejoicing? Because God will give them autumn rains and the spring rain and autumn rains.And shower them abundantly.
秋雨跟春雨，我有一个最后的资料哈，你们有看到，那是从一个百科全书里面 copy 下来的。
The I have some material on the autumn and spring rain. Please take note of it. I've copied it from encyclopedic volumes.
那秋天的时候开始下雨，那是秋雨。
The rain during springtime is of course the spring rain.
那冬天的时候雨下最多。
However, in the winter time, there's the most rainfall.
冬天雨最多，那个加州这边也是冬天下雨下多嘛，尤其那个洛杉矶那一带，地中海气候型都是这样子。
From the experience of California is the same that you get more rainfall during the winter time.
加州是地中海的气候型。那跟以色列地是一样的。
That the California is influenced by the climate of the Pacific Mediterranean climate, same as Israel.
那所以我们活在这里人最晓得秋雨是什么时候，那春雨是什么时候。
And that we people living here would truly experience what autumn and spring rains are.
他们秋雨的时候就撒种。
That during autumn rain they would sow.
然后经过整个的冬天呢，下雨，然后那个他们的谷物就长得很好。
And through the rainfall of the winter, that the seeds would grow.
到了春天呢，最后下春雨，春雨一下之后雨就停了。
And when the spring rain comes and goes.
就结束了这个雨
the rainfall would stop
然后再来就收割，收割完就结束，这样就算一年了。
then harvest will follow, and after harvest, a year is complete.
这里跟台湾或是跟欧洲相反，欧洲现在是最绿的时候，我一到那个洛杉矶啊，一看这一路都是黄草一片哦，奇怪，怎么这样子？
Here seems to be opposite to Taiwan or Europe, for it seems to be the greenest time of the year in Europe, whereas I came to Los Angeles and saw everything was rather parched and yellow.
我是没有冬天来过了，可能冬天这里一片绿吧。
I've never been here since for the winter season, but I would assume it would be very green during the winter.
但是至少冬天是下雨的季节。
But at least we know that winter season is one of great rainfall.
但是对我们最重要的解经的话，圣经没有记载说冬天没有记载冬天，对不对？我们就不要管它，不要想太多。这也只是告诉我们秋雨跟春雨。
But when we come about doing exegesis here, we do not want to concentrate on things that are not recorded in the Bible. For example, the fact that winter has much rainfall, but we concentrate on what's written, that is autumn and spring rains.
秋雨就是彼得自己证明了，在圣经里面，我们刚好念过《使徒行传》第二章，下的就是五旬节的圣灵。Autumn
rain has been fulfilled, as Peter mentioned in his sermon, that the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, symbolizing the autumn rain.
那春雨就是我们现在晚雨圣灵，春雨是晚雨，晚雨圣灵是做什么？收割的雨。
And the spring and or latter rain is what we experience today, that is the time of harvest.
我们讲这样就好。That's
all we need to talk about here.
以前有人就在台湾说，哎呀，那冬天没有雨啊，哈，那所以秋雨五旬节之后，冬天就冬天台湾没有雨嘛，哈，又冷得要命哈，所以那是严寒的季节，所以呢那个时候圣灵停降，但是这个跟事实不合啊，被以色列人听到，他们大笑。
Some people in Taiwan have tried to prophesy this peace by saying that since there's not much rainfall in winter time, and therefore after a period of winter, finally it rains in the spring, and that symbolized the downpouring of the Holy Spirit. Whereas if you tell a Jew this, then they would laugh at you because for their winter there's much rainfall.
在以色列的冬天是下最多雨的时候，你看那个表，下最多。
If we look at the chart that's given on the third page, talking about the average rainfall of Jerusalem and Palestine area, then we see that winter has much rainfall.
我们要注意，就是圣经的，不是你每一个字每一个句都要，或是什么时间就把它什么都要讲成灵异，有时候讲不通了，会反而会碰脚的。
We should not take every single word from the Bible and try to explain it to death or explain things that are not there.
就圣经有写的来解释就好，没有写的你不要自己想。
That is, we can only take what's there, and we cannot input our imagination into it and put more into it.
虽然有个成语说有样看样，没样自己想，圣经的解释不要这样子。
Although there's a proverb that says, if there's something there, then see that something, but if there's nothing there, make something. But we should not have that approach when it comes to studying the Bible.
譬如说主耶稣他说他人子被举的时候，他用那个对比来讲说，在摩西在旷野的时候举过那个蛇。
For example, when Jesus talks about the Son of Man being raised, he talks, one relates back to Moses raising up the serpent.
在约翰福音三章第十四节，这边我念就好。他说：“摩西在旷野怎样举蛇，人子也必照样被举起来。”所以在这里呢，主耶稣所比较的是那个举的动作而已。That
John 3:13 talks about the analogy of Moses raising up the serpent and how the Son of Man will be raised up. The only thing being compared here is the action of raising.
耶稣被举。
That Jesus will be elevated, raised.
那你不要想太多，那摩西举蛇，那被举的耶稣也是蛇，那就耶稣是蛇，那就完了。But
if we take this analogy too far, then Jesus then becomes a snake, and that's not right.
所以在圣经里面的灵异，不要每个都灵异灵到最后你也很混乱的，听到人也头晕脑胀。Therefore,
do not seek for spiritual meanings in the Bible that are not there. You'll confuse yourself and others.
要看它是指着哪一部分，譬如说举蛇，它只是写。 写那个怎样被举那个动作而已，你就不要把它想的说又是那个蛇。
So we should concentrate and see where the emphasis is put when the Bible draw analogies, so that from that example we see that the only thing being emphasized is the action of raising up.
譬如说那个挪亚放鸽子有没有放三次？那在之前呢，如果你要把挪亚放动物出去的全部把它比喻的话，那第一次放一只乌鸦，那怎么办？
For example, if you look at Noah's action of releasing different birds three times, if we then want to extrapolate that to the rest of the animals, then how is it that a raven goes first?
如果我们用俚语来解释的话，就讲这三次的放鸽子就好。那个什么乌鸦你就不要管它了，不然你乌鸦你要把它讲什么？你乌鸦讲什么鬼也不是？要讲什么？
That we should just concentrate on the action of Noah releasing three birds rather than concentrate on the specific the type of bird, for example, the raven that started, that you can't really translate that into, interpret that to be the Satan or anything in that context.
So we are 完全的圣灵，我们是收割的圣灵。
So we are the Holy Spirit of the latter rain, or the Holy Spirit during harvest.
那讲讲就好了。
And that's sufficient.
那二十八节，这是神应许的圣灵。
2:28 describes the Holy Spirit promised by the Lord.
约书二章二十八节。
Joel 2:28.
这是我们大家很熟悉的一段圣经。
And this is a very familiar verse to us.
说要将我的灵浇灌凡有血气的，你们的儿女要说言，你们的年老人要说异梦，少年人要见。
Receive the Holy Spirit and will receive the Holy Spirit.
二十八节这边说，要将我的灵浇灌凡有血气的，是说凡是求告，下面说凡求告神明的会得救，就是凡求告的神一定把这应许的圣灵浇灌给他。
That for all that ask, I will pour my Spirit on them, every one of them.
然后接下来说，女儿要说预言呐，老年人做异梦呐，少年人见象，这是。得到圣灵之后，他们有个别不同的圣灵的恩赐。
And of course, sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. These are just gifts that follows the downpouring of the Holy Spirit.
然后再接下来就是三十节到三十一节，是神大而可畏日子之前的这个预兆。
And verse 30 and 31 describes the time before the second coming of the Lord.
这个我们可以跟那个四福音主耶稣讲那个末日之前的那个情况相比较，是一致的。
Here we can compare almost directly to what Jesus describes as the last days.
就是马太福音二十四章了，马可福音十三章那边我们可以仔细看一看。
In Matthew 24 and Mark 13, we can draw reference to that description.
我们看二章的三十二节。
Now we look at Joel 2:32.
这是神应许要得救。
And here Jesus guarantees the salvation to come.
我们看二章，约书二章三十二节。
Verse 32.
到那时候，凡求告主名的，就必得救。
That in that time,
主的名是谁呢？就是耶稣。
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what is that name? That name is Jesus.
因为照主所说的，在锡安山。耶路撒冷必有逃脱的人，在剩下的人当中必有耶和华所招的。那现在问一下，这个剩下的人是指的谁？
Here I have a question. Who are these the people who are the remnants?
在旧约圣经里面有一个名词，就是说圣民，剩下的，就是说死了人死没有死掉的啦，就是剩下一些人啦，就一千个人死掉了999个，剩下一个人，那个剩下那个人。
In the Old Testament, there's a concept of the remnant or the survivors.
在当时以色列被掳的时候，有几种情况。
During the slavery of Israel, what are the different situations?
主后七二年那个撒玛利亚被攻陷，然后曾被。毁掉，人被杀，有一些圣民。
In 72 BC, the Samaria was invaded and taken over, and the city was destroyed.
586，耶路撒冷又被攻陷，然后也是几乎全城都 被杀。那杀完之后，有的就被抓到巴比伦去。
And in 586, Israel was again captured, invaded and captured, and some were captured to Babylon.
啊，被抓到一路上在路上都是用走的，路上有的死掉了，所以没有被刀杀死的也有在路上死掉了。那剩下的人都到了巴比伦。那巴比伦在巴比伦以色列人被掳的，他们也被称作剩下的人，叫圣民呢。
And of all the ones captured, they were brought to Babylon. On the way to Babylon, of course, they walked on foot, many of which died. And those who arrived in Babylon to be slaves, they are referred to as remnants.
那在耶路撒冷留下的这些人呢，也是被称作圣民。
And also these people left from the Israelites are also called the holy race, the holy people, holy citizens.
那如果这个说求告神明的就得救，那这个圣民是指的谁？
Here it says, those who call on the Lord among the survivors, who are they?
我们看那个《使徒行传》第十五章第十七节。
We refer to Acts 15, verse 17.
使徒行传十五章十七节。
Acts 15, 17.
数章十七节
Acts 15 verse 17
叫圣女的人就是凡称为我名下的外邦人都寻求主这话是创世以来显明这事的主说的所以这里在新约里面我们是圣民、啊、
So in the New Testament we are then this remnant people
我们是剩下来的没有死掉的
We are those who were spared from death.
那这些人剩下的这些民呢，就是凡称为我名下的外邦人。我们本来是外邦人，不是以色列人。
And that the remnant will be called the Gentiles who will bear my name.
所以《使徒行传》十五章十七节跟我们这段应该是互相呼应的。
So therefore, Acts 15:17 then can be referred back to Joel.
那在第四章，那第三章。
We now continue with Joel 3.
第三章是。专门整章都是讲主的日子。
Joel 3 is very devoted to the topic of the day of the Lord.
第一节到第八节是神要审判当时的列邦。
Verse 1 to verse 8 is that God's judgment will come upon the nation.
在这里是向万民的一个宣告。
Here is another proclamation to the people.
第三章一节。
3:1
到那日我使犹大和耶路撒冷被掳之人归回的时候第二节
2.
我要聚集万民带他们下到约沙法谷约沙法谷就是说神审判的意思
Valley of Jehoshaphat refers to God's judgment
就是耶沙法谷就是审判谷
That the Valley of Jehoshaphat is a valley of judgment
就是断定谷
Is the valley of condemnation.
我们看这三章的十二节，十二节这边就有记载了。这边十二节说，万民多当兴起上到约沙法谷，因为我必坐在那里审判四围的列国。所以神在约沙法谷是行审判。
That God will sit on the throne in the valley of Jehoshaphat and be the judge.
也是神最后的审判
And this will be the final judgment
因为他们这些列邦就是这些外邦呢将神的百姓就是神的产业把它分散在列国
Because it is at this place shall the inheritance of God be divided amongst all the so-called Gentiles or foreigners
所以这里看出来神的百姓是神的产业
Here then refers to God's people as his inheritance
我们是神的百姓，我们是神的产业。
And that we are His people, hence we are His inheritance.
神的土地也不容许人家来分。
And God's land will not be divided, scattered for people.
那一节到八节是，我们刚刚看到，这是第十二节，这边是要聚集万民，是对万民的宣告，并且对万民的一个审判。
And verse 12 goes on to proclaim to all nations.
那我们看第九节。
But we go back to verse 9.
三章九节
Chapter 3 verse 9
当在万民中宣告所以这是一段又是向万民宣告的话
Here again is addressing all nations
向万民宣告做什么呢要预备打仗
to proclaim to a nation that war is near. One of the questions assigned, question 6, has to do with this.
当在万民中宣告说要预备打仗了, 然后要激起勇士, 使一切战士上来, 然后第十节,
Verse 10,
要将犁头打成刀剑。
Verse 10 draws reference to beating your plowshares into swords.
然后当镰刀打成戈矛,
and your pruning hooks into spears.
然后叫大家都来打仗,
so that everyone would come to and participate in the war.
我们就想,其他的地方也有不同的记载呢。
But then we look at other references in the Bible and see some subtle differences.
我们看隔壁的弥迦书4章3节。
We'll look at the book next to Joel, Micah.
Micah 4:3. 3节说，他必在多国的民中施行审判，为远方强盛的国断定是非。他们要将刀打成犁头，把枪打成镰刀。这国不举刀攻击那国，他们也不再学习战事。 第四节。Verse 4。人人都要坐在自己葡萄树下和无花果树下，无人惊吓。这是耶和华，这是万军之主亲口说的。那第五节。Verse 5。万民各奉己神的名而行，我们却永永远远奉主我们的名而行。这个是又不一样了。Here
we see that there's differences.
我们再看这个以赛亚书2章4节。
We'll also look at Isaiah 2:4. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4.
2章4节说，末后的日子，耶和华的山必坚立超乎诸山，高举过于万民，万民都要流归这山。 这是预言说以后我们真耶稣教会好像要这样子。This
seems to prophesy that the true Jesus Church will undergo what's described here.
我们万民都要流归这山,
that everyone will come to the mountain.
就是各个教派或是各个宗教他们都要归回到真耶稣教会,
that every religion, every denomination will turn to the right church.
然后三节说，必有许多的国民前来说，来吧，我们登耶和华的山，登雅各神的殿。主必将他的道教训我们，我们也要行他的道，行他的路，因为训诲必出西安，耶和华的言语必出耶路撒冷。
And verse 3 continues to describe a call for everyone to go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. Then he will teach us his way, so that we may walk in his path. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this is a truth which is abiding with the true Jesus Church. And he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore.
在耶稣里面是说要将犁头打成刀剑。
In Joel, it talks about taking your pruning, your plowshares and beating them into swords.
然后要把镰刀打成戈矛,
and to take your pruning hooks and beat them into spears.
犁是耕田的是就是农具。
Sickle is a agricultural equipment.
然后镰刀是收割用的。
Pruning hook.
这是耕种，就是你 要撒种，先要犁田，这是开始种田，这是开始就最后。
The plow share, of course, is to plow the field before you sow, And the pruning hook or the sickle is what you use to harvest.
你没有犁就不能种。
If you did not plow the land, you cannot plant.
你没有镰刀你就不能收割。
Without a sickle, you cannot harvest.
那在耶稣这边是说要把犁打成刀, 就不要种田了,
Joel then implies that you should not farm anymore, rather you should fight.
把镰刀也不没有种，当然没收了。镰刀也打成戈矛，就打仗。
That you do not need to harvest anymore, you should turn your sickles into spears.
这是一副战争，就准备备战。比如说打仗的话，在战争的时候，最重要的是要把胜那个打仗打胜。所以无论什么东西都要投入这个战争，叫全民的战争。
The implication here is that we should devote everything now to war, to the efforts of war. That is, we take everything and change it into weapons of war.
结果二次大战战到最后，那个门框里面有铁的东西都要敲下来，那个门环哈，家里面啊有门环哈，铁的都要拿去，像如果说有什么铁的东西都要绞上去的，你扣子哈，衣服扣子有铁的都要绞上去，耳朵如果这里有什么金属的都要绞上去，因为打到最后什么都打了，就反正有铁的东西就拿去当炮弹打。
In the Second World War, they were so short of metals to build weapons that they took all windowsills, any buttons that are metallic or any earrings, and they would melt them into weapons.
那是真的，这叫打仗叫全民的战争。
This is a battle of the whole totality of people.
但是在以赛亚书这边是相反的。
However, in Isaiah, it seems to be opposite.
你的刀要把它打成犁头。
That you take your sword and change it into a plowshare.
你的戈矛要把它打成镰刀。
And taking your spears, changing them into sickles.
我们看这两个比较起来，我们就会发现到。
From these comparisons, we'll understand one thing.
耶稣里面是向万民的宣告。
Joel is addressing all nations.
对不对？我们耶稣这里面是一直向万民啊，万民就是在世界是这样的情况。
That Joel continues to address the people of all nations, the whole world.
世上的一切，无论士农工商，总是世界是一个什么征战的一个世界。人家讲哈，美国是什么儿童的天堂，中年人的战场，老年人的天那个什么坟场。That
for example, this world is a world of war. For example, U.S. is described as a playground for the young, and the battlefield for the youth. And the burial site for the old.
小孩子都很快乐嘛，对不对？有吃有喝有玩的。到你出在社会工作的话，那是真的战场啊。That
the children enjoy their lives very frivolously, while when they grow up, they enter battle.
啊，人老了就被这个社会排出去了。And
when they're old, they seem to be rejected.
那在这社会好像人跟人之间也是战场一样。 但是这不但是人跟人之间，社会是这样子，国家跟国家是这样子。
The society,
这是万民的一个景况。
This society seems to propagate the notion of men against men in battle, but to take that a little further, society against society, country against country is also real.
但是在以赛亚书里面，这是神国度里面的。
However, in Isaiah, is referring to within the kingdom of God.
因为神国度的来到。 所以在教会里面就不要动戈矛了嘛，对不对？
Because of the advent of God's kingdom, then there's no need to be any strife or any violence.
也不再学习战事了。That
there's no need for any wars.
所以像主耶稣所讲的，你们在世上你们有苦难。Just
like Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulations in this world.
但是你在我里面有平安。But
you'll find peace in me.
我们不可能把在我们商场上用的那个技巧用到教会来里面也。 打这个弄那个，哇，整个教会就乱了。That
we cannot take our, for example, business wit and try to apply to church matters. This will cause chaos.
所以这是两个不同的境地。So
these are two separate situations.
在世界，在万民，在万国当中，是一个打仗的一个争斗的一个场面。However,
amongst all nations, there is a flavor of war.
但是在神国里面是一个耕种的跟收割的。
However, in the kingdom of God, there's simply sowing and harvesting.